Sunday Meditation, February 6, 2000. A question today has to do with the various individual frustrations, angers, needs for isolation, feeling the loss of freedom, all of the various difficulties that come around in our lives on a periodic basis and seem to be part of our catalyst. We're wondering what Kuo can tell us about what it's really possible to do consciously, intellectually, logically, in learning from the catalyst, and when it's necessary to either do something different or to give it up, to accept the situation, to have faith that everything is the way it should be. And we're wondering what Kuo can tell us in the different approaches to our catalyst, the intellectual approach, the acceptance approach, or even changing things, or giving ourselves a break. How can we know, really, what is best for us to do at any certain time in our life experience?
We are those of the principle known to you as the Kuo. We greet you in the love and in the light of the one infinite creator in whose service we are. It is a great blessing and a privilege to us to be called to your group this afternoon. We greatly appreciate each person who sits in this circle of seeking. We appreciate the desire that brought you to this circle and that brought us to you. It is a signal blessing to us to be able to speak through this instrument and other instruments to people such as you. For in this way we feel that we can share information and opinion without infringing upon the free will of any. For we wish our information to be taken lightly, in that we ask that you not think us to be an authority. For we are not an authority over you, but rather our companions along the way that we both walk. We know that the way is dusty, and we appreciate your company as much as you appreciate ours. When this instrument was speaking to the one known as Ron earlier this afternoon, the one known as Ron asked this instrument to ask a question of us within this session. That question was, do we remember the difficulties of third density? Is it possible for us to put ourselves into the experiences of third density? And may we say that yes, indeed, we do. Our third density was, in some ways, a simpler experience than the one which faces you at this time, because of there being more of a consensus within the entire population concerning choice of polarity. However, when the veil drops at the beginning of a third density incarnation. There is no possibility that any can proceed through the incarnated experience in a state of calm and peace. So the first thing that we would like to focus upon is the situation, for it is the situation of third density that is at once its glory and its horror. It is seen as a glory for those outside the incarnation, looking at the incarnative possibilities in learning and in service for those who undergo the veil of forgetting. It can be a horror when experienced within incarnation, especially when the tempo of confusion becomes so hectic that there is no longer any island of safety for the emotional and spiritual self, but rather all seems completely involved in a desperate confusion. Thusly, it is well to look at the basics of the situation. You begin to see into why you as a soul would have chosen to put yourself into the way of such suffering as you now experience. May we say that the stories we spin are our suppositions and not facts. But we suppose that the Creator said to itself, I desire to know myself. We suppose that it is this desire that birthed creation. This Creator wishing to know itself spun out of itself an infinite creation with an infinite number of unique souls, each of which contained the Creator within it. This creation was cast into the creation of light. Thusly, you as a creation of love were given a creation built of light in order that you might experience the illusion of time and space and cause and effect, so that in this illusory dream, each unique portion of the one infinite creator could become an experiencer, a reasoner, a source of information for the infinite creator about itself. Many things have been projected by entities within your third density and in many other densities concerning the nature of the one infinite creator. And many are the commands of various religions concerning behavior towards the one infinite creator. But in truth, it was not that the Creator wished to be loved, but rather that it wished to know itself. Curiosity, then, the desire to know more, is built into the one infinite Creator's nature. It is only reasonable, therefore, that the infinite Creator would choose, at some point, to give its souls free will. The way that the densities of light were set up, was that there was an octave of steadily increasing density of light, and that there would be creatures native to each density that would be able to experience, express, and communicate the nature of their experience to the one infinite creator. These densities begin in our system of describing them with the first density, which is elemental, the density of rock, of earth, wind, fire, and water, of sky and sea, of those things which seem quite inanimate, and yet they are fully vibrating with the love and the light of the one infinite creator. The second density is that density of reaching towards the light. And the natives of that density are your plant and animal kingdoms. They are not aware of self, yet they are aware of the light and they move towards it. The third density is the one of which you are now part. It has often been called the density of choice. The reason for this descriptive name is that this is the density wherein consciousness itself, that is the soul that you are, takes a second density physical vehicle and attaches itself within that fleshly temple to experience the limitations of time and space, to experience the first awareness of self by self. In this third density, and only in third density, does the veil of forgetting drop as each soul incarnates into a physical vehicle. This density is full of confusion and is designed that way, and we will come back to this point. The remaining densities are the fourth density, which many have called the density of understanding, but which we would call the density of love. Fifth density, in which souls take on themselves the lessons of wisdom. Sixth density, which is the density of unity. where love and wisdom find the way to meld and become one. This density is the first density wherein the positive and the negative paths are reconciled and all paradoxes solved. The seventh density has been called the density of foreverness, for in this final density before the octave, souls spend their last days looking backwards and finally full of spiritual gravity are pulled back into the heart of the one infinite creator to become quiescent and held completely in potential, only to be flung out again at the beginning of the next creation, to experience more, to express more, and to inform the one infinite creation of its own nature. In third density, you are at the beginning of a three-density walk, either on the positive path or the negative path, the path of service to others or the path of service to self. The choice of which path to follow is an extremely central part of what you as a soul hoped that you would successfully grapple with in this incarnation. Looking at this incarnated experience from before or after it, the issues are clearly seen. Every human condition contains a lesson in love that can be taken either positively or negatively. Indeed, it is sometimes difficult but always possible to look at the present moment and find the love that is within that moment. This is often very subtle work, and meanwhile, very unsubtle confusion tends to reign. Let us look at this confusion. For within each heart, within this circle, we see a puzzlement, a sincere wishing that there would not be so much confusion. And yet it is the specific purpose of third density to create massive and persistent confusion. You see, each of you came into incarnation with a clear set of lessons to learn and service to offer. You laid down relationships and situations that would produce the most catalyst and would offer you the most efficient possible opportunities to increase your polarity and to share your gifts. You also provided yourself with what this instrument would call a personality shell. And within that personality shell, you offered to yourself the amount of intelligence that you thought would be helpful in order for you to do those things that you came to do. Consequently, the human situation is a soul who does not remember its lessons, does not know what service it came to offer, is placed in what will continue to be until the incarnation is through, a constant, cyclical sea of confusion. The personality shell, you see, has one aspect that can be very difficult to control. That aspect is the mind. The emotions of self, whether instinctual and second density in origin, or whether of third density origin, have a truth to them that does not depend upon the veil of forgetting. The feeling that each seeker has are trustable to a far greater extent than that which the mind puts out in the way of thought. Let us explain. The intellectual mind is a portion of the personality shell and is designed to solve problems. The mind is an either-or instrument. It is designed to look at a situation and make a choice. On the surface of life, on the matter of whether to go straight or turn right, whether to keep an appointment or change it, this choice-making equipment works very well. When the intellectual mind is dealing with the physical creation and the creations of humankind, the society, relationships, and so forth, this mind works well. However, this density is the density of the soul's awakening to an awareness of itself. So there comes that moment within the incarnational experience when the seeker realizes that something has changed, that there is a comfortable nest in which she seems to be sleeping so well, and suddenly she woke up, and she got up and she stretched and looked longingly back at that nest and could no longer sleep. This is the experience of awakening to the metaphysical nature of self. It is a dislocating experience, because it means that you are now an inhabitant of a completely different creation than the creation you enjoy up until the moment of awakening. The creation into which the seeker awakes is the metaphysical universe. In the physical universe, the goals tend to be achievements, things that can be done. In the metaphysical universe, the issues have to do with essence and being. In this universe, it is thoughts that are the deeds. It is intention and desire that are the actions. Consequently, when the intellectual mind attempts to analyze a situation that is metaphysical in nature, it can only be effectual with the careful overseeing of the deeper self, that is the more true nature of you. In other words, as a metaphysical entity, a citizen of eternity and infinity, you then turn and look back at the human situation, not with an idea to solve the situation, but with the idea to hone your intentions, your desires, and your vibration. Priority for a metaphysical seeker are completely switched from the priorities of the physical person. And this is very confusing. Naturally, the soul tends to move back and forth between the two worlds and attempts to harmonize physical agendas and metaphysical agendas. And may we say that both physical and metaphysical agendas are valuable, and are valuable equally. For you did not come into this density of choice to be aloof, wise, and in control. You came into this experience so that you might surprise yourself and the Infinite Creator. You came to experience new things and give yourself new catalysts to chew over and make into deep experience. Let us look at a for instance. This instrument was speaking about the irritation and aggravation that she felt, and discovering that she was going to have a very sore hand at the same moment that she needed her hand to do a service that she truly wished to do. As a physical entity, this can only be bad news. As a metaphysical entity, there was almost immediately seen to be good news involved in the situation. For it asked of both the instrument and the instrument's mate that they put aside those things that they had previously planned to do and those methods of doing them they had previously contemplated. And they were given the opportunity to work together or to find catalyst with each other of a negative nature to the point where they decided that they could not work together. In this instance, each of these seekers chose a high road. And consequently, the experience of increased limitation has almost seemed to be rather an experience of increased freedom. The freedom to grow closer, to accomplish things as one being, to find the heart of cooperation and sympathy. May we say that in many, many cases, the lessons of love do not involve the great boon of companionship. In many cases, the catalyst comes to one who must deal with it by oneself, or seemingly by oneself. And there is a tremendous loneliness and isolation that is felt by those who are adrift in the sea of confusion for one reason or another. And yet we say to you that when you are at your lowest point, when hope seems to be the dimmest, then is the creative moment, the moment of unlimited possibility. For it is into the darkness that light must shine. Just as the trees in the winter stretch the roots down into the darkness, and reach the naked limbs of winter to the sky, each of you has times of rooting darkness. Times when it seems truly the dark night of the soul. And it is in just such situations that the intellectual mind is finally brought to a standstill, is finally defeated, and knows that it cannot solve spiritual problems. And when that occurs, the way of working moves from the head to the heart. Do not feel that you are less than an excellent seeker if you spend much time within your intellectual mind. You gave yourself a powerful intellectual mind in order to help with the confusion. But note the dark time when finally you listen to your heart. And write it down as a red letter day. For For when you come into your heart, and when you let your heart do your thinking, the intuitions that can arise can truly seem to simplify and harmonize the experience of being in the dark and being confused. It is not that the heart is a place of explanation, for it is not. What is in the heart is your deeper self. What is in the heart, ultimately, is the one infinite creator. And this is a creator who has learned one thing for sure, so far, in its infinite creation, and that is that it loves each and every creation that it has made, with a love that is so deep and so pure that the tiniest iota of skin or hair or thought or idea that occurs to you is important to the one infinite creator. You cannot bore the one infinite creator. It is endlessly fascinated by and interested in each of its souls. Thusly, when all human habitation fails to comfort or simplify, there is that tabernacle within the heart to which you may go in meditation, in contemplation, in prayer, in a moment of remembrance. You may suddenly be in the light, bursting with joy and peace, and aware that things will rise, things will occur, and things will pass away, and that the one infinite creator and you will be just fine, in weal or woe, in life or death, moving through all of the interesting confusions and conundrums of the everyday life. When you live in the heart, you shall still be confused. But you shall not begrudge that confusion so deeply, nor shall you find yourself in the state of irritation as long at a time. For the heart, in its intuitive way, has a kindness, a gentleness. When the mind would cut with its sharp edges, this is a great and central learning, and there is more to say concerning. But we feel we have made a good beginning, and we feel that it is perhaps a good point at which we shall pause and transfer this contact to the one known as Jim. For we are aware that there are still questions that you wish to bring up at this time. And this instrument is asking us to keep our speeches to a certain time limit. we understand this need. And truly we know we have too many words. So consequently, we would at this time transfer this contact into the one known as Jim. We thank this instrument for its service and leave it in love and in life. For we are those of Ahura.
I am Kwok, and greet each again, in love and in life, to this instrument. At this time, it is our privilege to offer ourselves any further attempt to respond to those queries which those others may have for us. Is there another query at this point?
The six-month automobile thing I'm doing has a for the karmic relationship with another person. I'm not sure exactly how to proceed at this point because I don't seem to be winning anywhere. And I'm like tired of things that happen to think of. So it may sound like a silly question, but maybe not that far again, just right away.
I'm Kwok, and I'm aware of your query. When one finds that there is the confusion as to the next steps to take upon the journey of seeking, it is well to consider the situation in which you find yourself, and to utilize the facilities of the conscious mind to their fullest extent so that that which can be known is known to you. Then, take the time from your daily round of activities on a regular basis each day to retire in meditation, that those questions which have been asked consciously may sink further into the deeper portions of your mind, and that connections be made with those pre-incarnated choices which have been guiding you in a more or less clear fashion, and simply await the speaking of your own heart, of the Creator which moves inside of you. When you have stilled yourself to a point deep enough and regularly enough, and no one can say when this point is, but when it comes you will know it, then the direction will be made clear to you that you might move in the confidence of the love of the one who is. Is that a further clear? Thank you.
Thank you.
I am Kwok, and we thank you.
Can I follow that up?
I am quite happy for you to do so.
When there is a money problem where it looks like you're going to lose everything, what do you suppose could be the lesson involved?
I am quite, and to the only other question. When one seeks the highest path possible for the incarnation, one is then saying, we find that we must pause and be for that this instrument will allow us to offer. I am again with this instrument. when one has chosen the highest path for the incarnation, then one is saying to the self that all else must be subservient to that choice of love, whatever it may be. One must be willing to risk the loss of those things which may seem, for the moment, to be more important than following the path which is closest to the heart's desire. This is where the symbol of the fool within your system of tarot is seen to be walking from the cliff, to be suspended in mid-air, ready to fall. However, the faith of the fool sustains the next step, and the next step. Is that a further clue?
Oh, thank you.
I'm
very comforting. Thank you
very much. I am. Well, and again, we thank you. Is there another query?
I would like to read 4 questions from Ron King, if that's all right. His first question is, I am vulnerable to being used by people who are more self-serving, because I'm lonely and want to be of service. I feel manipulated. What can I do?
Again, we find that for each seeker of truth, it is most salient and centrally necessary to take that time from the daily round of activity and to retire within the meditative state, so that one may see the direction in which the feet are moved, may reassess, if necessary, the direction, the desire, the motivation. And then if there is the need for the movement in another direction that would balance that which was first chosen, then to place the feet there and to move in confidence there. We cannot choose for any, for this is the honor and duty of each, to make those choices that carry the metaphysical weight, shall we say, in the life's pattern. We say to each that each within the heart knows the next step, the next and the next. The daily round of activities within your current illusion is such that the frantic pace of existence often causes a blurring of the vision to the heart. Many do not seek the wisdom because of the commitment to the daily round of activity. We would ask each to look therein on a regular basis, that one may develop a clear communication with the heart, the intuition, the portion of the self that still moves in unity with all. Is there a further question?
Yes, Karen. Ron asks, it takes time for me to assimilate whole new concepts, such as I have found in your group, and to stay centered while I'm doing that. How can I deal better with that?
Each seeker will approach the learning of that which is set before him or her in a unique fashion. Allow the self to move in the way and at the speed that is applicable to the self. Do not place too many demands upon the efficiency or the speediness of the learning process. Is that what it is?
Did I hear that, girl? Yes. Ron asks, I am sensing being called do this or don't do that in my meditation. Is this my imagination? How can I tell good suggestions from bad suggestions?
As one develops the pattern of the daily meditation and becomes comfortable with the sitting within the silence and the seeking with the heart, there is the first inspiration that moves one in this or that direction. We would suggest that each entity move as the heart instructs, with the understanding that this is not a precise science, that there may be the times when one is uncertain, that the outcome of an action does not seem to be what was hoped for. Yet we encourage each to reinforce the faith that the heart does know that which is needed. And as the seeking of the conscious self is more and more consciously and subconsciously sought in the daily round of activities and in the meditation, that which is the product of the seeking in the meditation may be followed with confidence. And one may find that the feet are placed upon the firm ground, though one may not yet consciously recognize the territory into which one can move. If there is further
clarity. So, just to follow up with that, so what you're saying is, again, with the faith, you have to walk into the midair before the faith can kick in. You have to go ahead and take a guess in order to sense whether that's the right way. Is that what you're saying?
I'm aware of your fear. Indeed, each seeker must call upon the quality of faith again and again within the life pattern. This calling upon faith is that type of seeking which builds upon itself a kind of metaphysical momentum, shall we say. As one moves at first, the movement tends to be hesitant, not quite sure, timid, and yet desirous of building the faith necessary to continue to move. And so, the movement in faith does just this. The metaphysical muscles, shall we say, are built as are the physical muscles, the exercise. Is there a further question?
There is, but I'd like to follow up again on this. It's just one more question, if that's all right. How do you balance moving in faith and discriminating? Because it seems to me that his question is sort of sounding both. How do I discriminate? And yet at the same time, of course, he wants to move forward with the process. And I think discrimination is important to some extent.
I am caught, and in the word of the clear practice, we must pause and do this, that this instrument and be allowed to believe it. I am caught, and I'm again here. the discrimination that you speak of is that which each entity is in the process of learning. The following of the intuition. The movement according to inspiration. The ability to discriminate with some certainty of success are all skills which are learned through the exercise of faith. There are those times when the intellectual mind will enter the doubt or the fear, and the process may become confused. This is the common practice when an entity is first becoming aware of the need to move the self by the heart rather than only by the
shell. Yes, dear, but I would like to thank you especially for that answer because that helps me as well as mine. The fourth and last question is, do they have difficulty understanding earth problems and situations? And you already answered that. So you do not have to answer that again unless you want to comment further. Ron also wanted to say to you that he knows that you are helping him and he is trying to listen and he thanks you with all his heart.
We also would thank the one known as Ron for offering these heartfelt queries to ask him to get to you. Is there another query at this point?
The first one was my wife. She seems to be at a crossroad in her life. Working with me, work no longer gives you the same joy and satisfaction. She seems to think that her life should go in a different direction. Does not know where, and with the feelings she has physical ailments with her back and her feet, which continually plague her and don't seem to be getting better. There is immense frustration that I am able to be of help and to what can I do, how can I help, what suggestions with me might you have to help me?
I am Paul. I'm aware of the clear. We would again suggest that the meditative state is that place within each entity experience where the self may face the self and seek the heart of self most lucidly. We would recommend for any such entity seeking the answer to the deepest questions of incarnation that the meditative state is that place where such may be sought with security and with a certainty that can be found in no other experience. The entity of which you speak suffers the pains to those portions of the body for carrying heavy weights. The entity is aware of the weight upon the shoulders. The entity seeks a new direction but is unable to find the new path to travel until it is able to make the choice of leaving the old path behind. This, again, requires the kind of faith that the Arcanum number 22, the Fool, expresses as it moves in mid-air. Thus, we would recommend that this entity seek in the quiet times the depth of its heart's desire. Here, the entity will find the direction pointed for the new community. And yet, the entire direction awaits the choice by the entity to no longer carry the weight it now carries. I think that is perfect.
The other question I had lost, at times in the passing of my mother, who died 11 years to the very day that she was born. And just asking, what are the dynamics of the future of the time?
Hi, Uncle. And I'm aware of your feelings. We wish to serve without infringing upon free will, and in this instance we find that we must choose our words carefully. The experience of the young entity's fascination with the one pitch came before it is one pitch is supposed or surmised, as shall we say, by those present to it. More than this, we cannot say at this. Is there a further clue?
That brings up a point. Many times it says do not wish to interfere with the free will. In a way, it reminds me of a story, the Hindu story. Two men in a boat, and one falls over. The man in the boat does not help him, saying, "It is your time to drown." And with my equal again, the other person promised to save him. How do you determine and know if it has been infringing on free will, or would it be well to
I'm Kwok, and I'm aware of your fear. We look at the choices which have been made by the entity in question. If the entity has begun to utilize the catalyst placed before it in a manner which has taken it in a direction which needs only confirmation in some degree, then we feel free to speak. If the entity has not yet used enough of the catalyst placed before it to be able to make this beginning choice, then we feel it is an infringement for us to make it for the entity. Is there a further clue?
I'm curious. Using two tapes now, we cause the tape to play both tapes at the same time.
I am aware of your fear. We find that one tape failed due to a mechanical malfunction. We find that the primary tape failed due to the interference of one within the circle of sea. If there is a clear.
How many question that I asked before. And I had problems with my eyes, and just before Christmas, I've gotten sick. And I didn't get sick. It really caught my attention, and I'm afraid that maybe there were something that I'm just missing the point and not quite getting what was being presented to me. And sitting ahead and just hitting over the head and just not seeing it. Which you would come to me. But
I am caught. And then where are you, of course? Right? In this instance, we find that you were responding to a responsibility which had been placed upon your shoulders, which you wished was not so. And in this instance, you used to see a way of accomplishing this responsibility in a kind of manner.
Yes, a week ago, my 1-year-old niece was in very serious car accident, and at a time just before our family was going to get together and hopefully deal with things that had been out there for a long time. Her serious injuries were just some kind of a shock to all the family. And I'm wondering, can you tell me what were the dynamics? What we learned with the injuries? How did this affect my family or my particular?
I am poor, and then we're here. We find that the experience of the car accident involving your niece is one which may yet enable the harmonizing of difficulties within the larger family, as it has become a focus point for the various entities of the union to gather about. For the one which has suffered the limitation of the physical vehicle due to the accident, we would suggest that there are possible choices that this entity is now able to make of necessity that were receding, shall we say, from its conscious grasp as the direction it was moving its life pattern into was a somewhat astray of that which had been hoped before the incarnation began. One may look to various other entities to see how such limitations may aid the overall incarnated process of seeking. The one known as Kala, for example, suffered the limitation of the physical vehicle due to the juvenile rheumatoid arthritis and its onset at an early age within its incarnation, which had the effect of forcing its awareness into the self, that the meditative state, the contemplative and the prayerful state, be those which took present the correct instrument, those which took precedence in the incarnation of the entity, and allowed it to move into those areas which it has explored as its service ever since. The one known as Franklin Delano Roosevelt, as those who have learned the raw material, has understood, chose the paralysis of the lower portion of its physical vehicle as a malison to the lack of compassion which it had showed to others in its rise to a higher position. Thus, the limitation of the physical vehicle reignited a compassion within this entity for those about it. When the physical vehicle is so limited in its ability to carry out its normal functions that it can no longer do so without the aid of others, then one may see the necessity of the other's aid as being a significant portion of the incarnational pattern of the injured entity. The ability to give and to receive the vibration of love may be learned in such a situation. The non-movement of the physical vehicle may also cause the entity to reinforce the looking within that we spoke of in referring to the one known as God. The initial response of the entity to this possibility may or may not be the recognition of its value, but may instead be the complete denial of this need. Each seeker will need to work with the catalyst placed before it in the fashion which is most comfortable to it. Even though this working with catalyst may seem quite chaotic and even destructive in its beginning stage. Is there a further clue of it?
This kind of also reminds me of my father, who had both knees replaced. I was reading some material of one known as Valerian, Chinese information, that mentioned that problems with knees is a good indication of an individual being cut off or not seeing the higher self. Could this be a somewhat similar situation?
I am aware of it too. And indeed, this was a point to which we referred to when we spoke of the entity's need for the re-evaluation of the direction of the incarnation and the partaking in the accident as being the catalyst which would bring this need to the fore. Is there a further clue?
Recently I finished book 5 of the Long Theory. I'm kind of curious. Can you tell us what Don Elton is doing these days?
I am aware of your queries, my brother, but we are not able to answer this query due to our desire to refrain from the infringement upon the free will of some of those brothers. If that is your query,
I know I don't seem to be very, flexible. A lot less flexible than anyone else. And I'm wondering if my physical inflexibility may have something to do that I may be often mentally inflexible. Would you comment on that?
I am in every way of the clue. In this instance, we would suggest that the physical flexibility is more a product of the lack of use than the reflection of any mental infectibility, which may have effect on the physical, the body. If there is a cure.
Recently, I felt like I had jammed two of my fingers and swore for many days. And I could not think of what I had done to cause it to feel a pain. Could you tell me what was going on there?
I am poor. And is it? Let me correct it. This is the energy today. We are those of thought and are aware of this too, my brother. The experience of the increased pain of your physical and vehicle is a symptom of the overloading of that particular area of the vehicle in such a manner that the pain is accentuated according to the awareness of that portion of the vehicle. If that is good, it's good.
Is there are 13 other selections available. I would be interested in the same company. Could you tell me where I might possibly get those selections?
I have thought. And though we are aware of your spirit, and then we find that we are unable to provide a search about.
Yeah, when are you going to get an email?
So we are those of course, and we are most grateful to each and every for a calling out of today to this particular procedure, and would wish to speak at greater length with this group, but find that the energy of this particular instrument grows low, and we must then take our leave of this instrument and this group. We leave each in the love and in the light of the one infinite creator. We are known to you as those automatic.
Mm-hmm.